We come to one of the high points of all of our meetings, in which one of our membership takes the podium and talks about his or her Carolina story. And Jan Capps has agreed to do that today. So, Jan, welcome.
Put him right here, okay? All right, last night, Rich said it was amazing that he was at the, it was a miracle, I think he said, that he was at this podium. I'm about to tell you even a bigger miracle. And I got to reach into my bag here. Okay, we're going to start with this. I am going to tell you not my Carolina story, but a tale of two Carolina stories. Let's sort of set the context, 1968 to 71. I'm in high school then. I'm head cheerleader. I'm homecoming queen, hence the saddle Oxfords. And I participated in student government. That was the fun side of my life. The other side was trying to work on racial tensions in my hometown of Wilmington and trying to understand the Vietnam War. That was the more serious side of my life. While I learned a lot in high school about government, life, and conflict, I didn't do a lot of book learning. So I came to Carolina in 1971. I was the younger sister of a Morehead scholar. I was anything but. Pretty much overnight, I turned in my saddle Oxfords for Birkenstocks, bandanas, hippie skirts, and I arrived at Granville Towers. My musical tastes included Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Grateful Dead. Given my tendency towards hippiness, weren't you talking about hippiness? My college experience might have been a little different than some of yours. I'm going to have to hold this for a second. I never went to a basketball game. I missed McAdoo, Carl, Kupchak, Davis, our own Dave Hanner, Kuster, Lagarde, one year Phil Ford, and my neighbor Woody Coley. I never went to a football game. I never joined a club, a sorority, or attended a fraternity party. I moved to Hillsboro and rented a house with a pond in front so I could contemplate the leaves in the reflection on the pond. Though I did graduate, and with a degree in psychology, I did not attend graduation. So perhaps we should talk about my academic career at Carolina. The first word on my first blue book exam was juxtapose. I had no idea what juxtapose meant. So I picked my 17-year-old self up and I walked up to my professor, Peter Filene, and I, with tears in my eyes, and said, "What does that mean?" And he explained. He was very kind to me. I received an AB on my transcript for calculus, which I'm pretty sure I tried to pass on to my parents as my professor's equivocation about whether I made an A or B. Instead, it meant absent from exam. And it figures into your GPA as a zero. So, moving on in my academic career, I received some great feedback from my art history professor on a paper I wrote, and he said that I had a pseudo-sophisticated writing style. I'm pretty sure what that means is I put an SAT word in every sentence, even if it didn't need one. I kept that paper until recently. And just imagine being my parents. This is when report cards actually went home to parents. My report card includes classes like Children of the Kibbutz, Guerrilla Warfare, Women's Sphere of Success, and Classical Guitar. I participated in consciousness-raising sessions both on campus and off campus, primarily at He's Not Here, where I where I held a foosball table all night with my consciousness raised by Miller Lite. So I was a groupie for a band called Arrogance that played at the Cat's Cradle. I had a huge crush on the lead singer, whose name was Don Dixon. Dancing on tables in the bar was not unknown to me. And, oh, if you were here then, I was hostessing at Tijuana Fats on the weekends. So I worked in Wilson Library. I transliterated Russian script to English letters and filed Russian texts and recorded them in the card catalog. The lady I worked for was the best darts player at my other consciousness-raising site, The Cave, if anybody knows that. And I don't know why they did this, but University Presbyterian Church also hired me as a babysitter. Well, what is the miracle of all this? It is that my parents continued to pay my tuition. But I did learn a few things while I was here. I learned that juxtapose means compare and contrast. I learned that you write better if you skip the SAT words. And I also learned that interactions with people who are different from you make you learn and grow. And so what I learned here is that I grew up. So after graduation, this is going to continue for a while, I got into an orange VW bus, of course I did, and I drove to California. So 2 months later, I'm back from California, and I get another job at Wilson Library again. And I was secretary for the head librarian, because that's a good use for a psychology degree, don't you think? And I don't know if any of you remember this, but back in the old days, you took dictation by your boss, usually a he, would dictate on a cassette tape, and you'd put on earphones and you type. And so I'm typing a letter to his former secretary, and he says to her, "Wish you were here." I changed jobs pretty soon after that, and I followed my psychology degree to go work in the men's prison system for 2 years. Here's one of the many stories I can tell you as a 20-some-year-old woman working in the men's prison system. A young man, I think he was in for marijuana possession, he was serving his time in Raleigh, and he wanted to be transferred to the minimum security Orange County unit so he could be closer to home and go back to school. I advocated for him, I believed in him, and he escaped. So by now, I'm not a secretary, and I'm not going to work in the prison, and my GPA here wasn't so great, so I went to graduate school at Wake Forest. They did accept me. And there, things started changing a little bit, and I found out that I had a pretty good grasp of numbers and finance, and I understood that. It made sense to me, and I studied hard and actually graduated close to the top of my class. So what a difference a few years will make, huh? But it required a new pair of shoes. So things have a way of working out. I interviewed with this company called Sebagaigi, and I found out that they were only interviewing women for the position of financial analyst. So it turns out my first job with this company that would span the next 26 years of my life was an affirmative action position. And that actually gave me a little bit of an extra dose of motivation. My two children came along during the early years of my career, and during those 26 years, I worked and lived in Greensboro, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I commuted, believe it or not, for 2 years to and from New York. My industry was agribusiness, and so I spent a lot of time in corn-growing states. They usually start with Iowa, Indiana, Illinois. And imagine, this is just one of the fun things about working in agribusiness, going to a trade show for farm implement tools and pesticides in the Twin Cities in January. A lot of fun. I traveled to Switzerland, which was our home office, over 70 times during these years. And I'll toot my horn just once to tell you that even a lousy student with a diploma from Carolina can have some measure of business success. Just before I retired, I was recognized in the Basel, Switzerland newspaper as the highest ranking woman in our 20,000 person company. My company experience also caused me to travel to all the continents except for Antarctica, because there's not a lot of agribusiness in Antarctica. And I met people from all over the world who I still consider to be friends. And I really do believe this diploma from Carolina helped open many doors for me. I learned to learn here. I learned how much I didn't know, and I was very humbled by my experience. Both our kids applied here. Caroline accepted both of them. They both hold undergraduate and graduate degrees here. Their spouses graduated from Carolina. One holds a graduate degree from here. The other one went over to that other place over there, but he still bleeds our Carolina blue. So out of the six of us, there are 9 degrees from Carolina. Now, a few years ago, I started taking online classes here, and I've made A's in all of them, much to the chagrin, I'm sure, of my younger classmates. But my husband decided, he thought this was funny, I didn't think it was so funny, to find out how many classes it would take for me to make A's in to get my cumulative GPA up to a 3.0. And I decided I don't have enough runway left. So a word about my family. My family, they are tolerant, loving, and kind, and they are always and forever at my core. So now, I told you this is dangerous, for my next pair of shoes. My husband and best friend and I recently hiked the 500-mile French Way of the Camino de Santiago, which is a pathway in the north of Spain. There we saw evidence of Carolina. There was a rock we saw with a foot painted in Carolina blue. It didn't have the tar on the heel, but it was Spain, so it was close. We saw a Carolina blue and white flag. We saw a Carolina blue house, and we decided that was signs calling us home. Now, over the years, I've served on the Board of Visitors. Steve and I chair Leinberger Cancer Center's board. We serve on the executive committee for Barbara's Global Leadership Council, and we've mentored students in the entrepreneurship program here. So even though my term at the General Alumni Association is ending, we'll still be hanging around campus doing what we can. And we'd like to thank you for the privilege of being an insider in the Carolina family. But one more thing. Now I hope you understand why this was called the Tale of Two Carolina Stories. And I want you to remember that if any of your children or grandchildren bring home transcripts that have rather weird course selection and may not be so good, things have a way of working out. Thank you.